Many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
Weekdays at noon, it's More to Life.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Each weekday on More to Life, we'll explore the life you were meant to live through the theology of the body.
Tune in for great advice, guests, and the information you need to take your marriage, family, and personal life to the next level.
Weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Today on More to Life, the tyranny of nice. When do you feel pressured to, against your better judgment, be nice? And are you sure that playing nice is always the Christian thing to do? Let's talk it out. We can't wait to hear from you.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life.
Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to marry.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free.
Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Everybody, you are listening to More to Life, the show that explores the life we're all called to live through the lens of the theology of the body. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on the show, the tyranny of nice. Be nice. Play nice. Make nice. That wasn't very nice. We hear it all the time.
Oh, you know, I don't think I realized how much we hear it until you just listed all of those. It's true.
It is true.
It's sort of a mantra.
It's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice.
Wow. We really are sort of bombarded with that message, aren't we?
Yeah, and I have to say that I think that this whole idea of being nice is flawed, seriously flawed. Not that I want you to go out and be mean, but I would really argue that nice is Satan's plagiarism of good. And we want to talk today about those times when we feel pressured against our better judgment to be nice instead of being honest or virtuous or good or true.
Yeah, I really am glad you're hitting those very important virtues. I don't think that a lot of people expect to turn on a religious radio station and hear somebody saying, "Don't be nice." I think a little, a little.
Well, some people might expect that from religious people. I don't know.
But oh, wow. they wouldn't be listening to a religious radio station.
There you go. Yeah.
But I think those who are, because, they feel dedicated to their faith, are a little surprised when they hear you saying that. So I'm glad you're listing the very real virtues, because honestly, this nice thing really is a trap. It's a huge, disempowering trap. And it's just not good for us or the people who are telling us to be nice all the time. It's not really a healthy thing. Let me give you an example. This came up yesterday. My little one had a play date with one of her best friends yesterday, and the mom and I, the weather has been here. My smallest child is calling this the season of yuck, because it's been so disgusting here. It's not the Christmas season yet. It's not the Lenten season yet. Thank God, I'm not ready for it. It's not the Easter season yet. I wish it would come faster. It's the season of yuck, according to her. So we found this wonderful indoor playground, and we took the girls over there. And the mom and I got to kind of sit and socialize while we were watching the kids play. And unfortunately, because it's the season of yuck, it was very crowded. And as every mom and dad who's ever taken their kid to a play area knows, a little hesitant. What are these other stranger kids going to be like? How is this going to go? And I had been commenting to my friend. I said, "This is a really nice crowd of kids. We're really lucky this afternoon. Everybody's playing so well together. This is really sweet." And she said, "Yeah, it is, and I'm really relieved." She said, I brought my daughter here when she was about 2.5. And I didn't have such a good day. And I said, well, what happened? And she said, well, there was this little boy, and he kept spitting on my daughter over and over and over again. He was spitting on my daughter. And every mom starts to, you know, make the wincy face and recoil when they hear that, don't you?
Yeah, well, nobody wants typhoid Marty spitting at your kid.
And just, even if it's not germy, it's just, it's rude, it's degrading, and it's germy. It's not a good thing. And so the mom of this little boy who had been spitting on her 2.5-year-old daughter was just gone. I don't know if she went to the bathroom. I don't know where she was. It's not a huge area, but somehow this mother could not be seen. And this went on and on and on. She tried giving the kid the kind of, you know, the look, like the knock it off kid look. Didn't work. She finally got right down on the kid's level, looked in his eye, and said, you may not spit on my child. Well, that brought the mom out of nowhere.
I want to interrupt because I apologize, but you need to understand that this woman that Lisa is talking about is an extraordinarily quiet,
very
conflict-hating person.
Yes.
So in order for, I mean, it took moving heaven and earth to get her to stand up say something to this kid.
This was you. She is really the most docile, quiet, gentle soul you'd ever want to meet in your life. And it really did. It took all her guts to do this. And as she says this to the little boy, and honestly, I know my friend, if she had been at her angriest, if she had been at what Greg calls on his emotional temperature scale, that 10 where you're climbing a clock tower with an AK-47, she still would have come off as gentle. That's how gentle a soul this woman is. And she says this to the little boy, you may not spit on my daughter. Now, she didn't call names. She wasn't yelling. She was just firm and drew a line. The mother comes out of nowhere like an angry hawk and starts screaming at my friend, saying, how dare you reprimand my child? Can't you be nice? Can't you be pleasant? You have no right to... What? Her kid is spitting on my friend's child, but my friend should have been nice.
Yeah. What's wrong with her anyway? Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about here.
That's
look,
exactly what we're
the point
about.
Is not to provoke arguments. The point is not to go out and be mean. The point is not to rub people's faces in their mistakes. Of course it's not that. Our point is that we have to compare everything that we do against the what Pope John Paul II called the adequate anthropology of the theology of the body. In other words, when he says the phrase adequate anthropology, he means knowing where we come from, where we're going, and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves while we're here. Where we come from is being made in the image and likeness of God. Where we're going is to union with God. And how we're supposed to conduct ourselves here is in a manner that reflects the virtues that come right from the heart of God. We're called to be good. We're called to be honest. We're called to be forthright. We're called to address injustices. We're called to be godly in all that we do. And sometimes that means comforting the afflicted, and sometimes that means afflicting the comfortable. But at no time does it mean just being nice. And that's what we're talking about today. How do we manage to be virtuous over and above the call to be nice? Are there times when you feel pressured to be nice against your better judgment? When you really don't know what to say? Or those times when you feel like you are pressured to forgive before it's really appropriate or you're ready? Or those times when you feel like there's something that needs to be said, but it wouldn't be nice to say it? Those times that something needs to be done to address an injustice, but you can't figure out a nice way to do it. And it stops you from being good or doing the virtuous thing. If you're not sure what the virtuous thing is, if you're not sure what the right thing to say is, if you're not sure what the right response might be, give us a call. We want to help you be good. We want to help you be virtuous. We want to help you be godly instead of just worrying so much about being nice. 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. And we're talking about those times we feel pressured to be nice against our better judgment. Let's talk it out and bring it to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for claiming us as your own and bringing us to the Father in whose image and likeness we are made and from whom we're to take our cue for how to live and work and relate to others. Lord, we often feel pressured to compare ourselves to so many other competing models. Sometimes we get so busy pursuing our approval, the affirmation of others, that even when we should be willing to ruffle some feathers, we avoid doing so. We avoid saying what must be said or doing what must be done for fear of risking the disapproval of the people in our life. In the difficult times we find ourselves, the challenging spots we find ourselves in, help us, Lord, to have the humility and the self-control to know when we should restrain ourselves, but also the courage and the commitment to virtue that enables us to decide when to speak up or act out for the sake of your kingdom and for the good of others. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. We are talking today about overthrowing the tyranny of nice in our lives. You know, a lot of the things that are core to the Christian mission are kind of contrary to the idea of niceness. For instance, admonishing the sinner. Well, that's not very nice. But that is a spiritual work of mercy.
A work of mercy. Can we underline that? The church says admonishing the sinner is a work of mercy. And you think, well, but they tell me I'm not nice. It's not about being nice. It's about working for their good, working for their soul. When you admonish the sinner and you tell them, hey, there's another way to do this. There's a better path to be on, a path that leads to eternal life. That's working for their good. That's merciful. That's leading them away from sin. But what are we told as Christians? That's not nice. Don't point that out. You might make them feel bad. You might make them angry. You might not get the reaction you want. And yet the church reminds us, a work of mercy. How powerful for us to be able to perform a work of mercy, but we're going to have to step outside those lines of being nice in order to do it.
You know, so again, we can't compare ourselves to the world's standards for how we're supposed to be and relate and work with others. We have to compare ourselves to that, as Pope John Paul II called it, that adequate anthropology of the theology of the body that tells us where we come from, the heart of God, where we're going, the heart of God, and how we're supposed to be here, be while we're here. We're supposed to live out the virtues that spring from the heart of God. And nice, you know, nice is fine, but it's just not virtuous, and it's not necessarily good, and it's not necessarily honest, and it's not necessarily just. When are you feeling pressured to be nice against your better judgment and, truth be told, against better virtue? 877-573-7825.
Let's go now to Miranda in Texas.
Hey there, Miranda. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi, Dr. Greg. Hi, Lisa. Along the lines of what y'all are saying, I've always struggled with, I guess I have a very strong moral compass, and mm-hmm. I have a hard time not coming across or trying not to come across as judgmental, but also wanting to stand up for truth. And I don't want to stand judgmental because I'm afraid that'll push them away.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing that I often struggle with. And right now I'm going through something with my sister that I feel like I should talk to her about morality and being chaste before marriage. But mm-hmm. I'm just not sure how much to say without sounding, you know, religious, like I'm shoving it down her throat.
All right. Well, without, you know, I don't want to embarrass your sister or have you give details that you're not comfortable sharing on the radio, but could you give us a little bit more information about what the situation is and what you're struggling to communicate?
Well, she's actively growing in her Catholic faith right now. I worry a little bit because on the weekends she goes to visit her boyfriend who lives out of town. They're going to two different colleges,
mm-hmm.
and she stays with him, and I'm just not sure. I mean, I'm not judging. I want to voice my concerns to her about making sure she realizes the importance of chastity and waiting.
And what's the nature of your relationship with her? Like, how do you talk about lots of other things? Do you spend a lot of time together?
Yes, we're very close. As she's growing in her faith, I don't want to bring this up to her, something that might be overly sensitive to talk about, and mm-hmm. then push her away.
Okay. Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, the way... It's okay to convict, but it's not okay to condemn. Let's put it that way, okay? So in other words, all right, you don't want to look at her and say, you know, hey, what you're doing is wrong there, shame on you, okay? Because it's not going to be, I don't mean anything by this, but I know that you're growing in your faith, and I know that you're taking this really seriously. And one of the things that we're concerned about as Catholics is avoiding the near occasion of sin. And also of not giving scandal to other people. And I'm a little bit concerned that you might want to take this to prayer, that sometimes whenever you go to your boyfriend's house for the weekend, you might be either giving other people the wrong impression, which, you know, on the one hand, you might say, well, I don't care what anybody thinks. But as Christians, we're called to encourage everybody to try to live up to the greatest degree of virtue, right? And so if we're accidentally sending a message to other folks that, hey, you know, this is okay, and look, you know that I'm this Catholic person, and look how I'm behaving, it might be sending the wrong message. And also, it's a little tempting for you, and I'm concerned that sometimes it's too tempting to settle for less than you deserve in a situation like that. You might want to take that to prayer. You know, and okay. You sort of throw that out there. You're not drawing any conclusions about her behavior. You're not criticizing her. You're just asking her, hey, have you considered this in light of the person you say that you want to be? And you're holding up that mirror and asking her to reflect on her own self-image, not to justify herself to you or anything like that, but to, you know, contemplate or reflect on that reflection that she might be conveying to the rest of the world. And you know, so, and people sometimes get a little, you know, upset about that anyway, but you can easily, hopefully, kind of sidestep that by saying, listen, I'm really not assuming anything bad about you or saying anything, you know, bad about you as a person. I'm just saying that I know that you're on this path, and you've told me that it's important to you, and so, you know, I thought this was something you might want to take to prayer, and you kind of back off and see where it goes with that, okay?
Great. Thank you very much.
Phenomenal. Thank you so much, Miranda. God bless you, and we will lift up your sister's situation in our prayers, as well as your situation in talking with her. But yeah, this is a perfect example of where being nice to one's sister would stop Miranda from being virtuous. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying something to her sister, as long as you say it in love, and as long as you say it with a genuine desire to work for her good. It's wrong, of course, to go, well, shame on you. Look what a slut you are. I mean, obviously, that's the wrong way to
It's not the message. It's the way it's delivered. And really, we do have to keep our eyes on why we're here and what God's holding us accountable for. And I, for one, don't want to get to the gates of heaven and have God say to me, you know, I put you in that person's life so you could open your mouth that time,
yeah,
and you chose to be nice instead, and now, you know, look how much suffering they've had in their life. Look how much suffering, you know, look how much farther away they are from me than they would have been if you had the courage to be honest and more virtuous,
well,
than just nice.
You know, and inspire scruples in folks, but, you know, Scripture even tells us that if we see somebody who is behaving in a manner that's unbecoming, that's sinful, and we don't point it out in a charitable way, and they continue sinning not knowing that what they're doing is wrong, we'll be held accountable for that sin. So, you know, we have a stake in this.
We do have a stake in this, and doesn't that make it hard when you think about all of those people in your life, your coworkers, your relatives, your extended friends who are really starting to walk a path that you're worried about? You know, that niece, that nephew, that person who you're thinking, oh boy, okay, but if I open my mouth, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, my parents, the grandparents, they're going to yell at me, they're going to tell me it's not nice, and yet we diminish our own value of why God put us in these relationships a little bit. You know, we diminish our value. Maybe he put us there to be that light of Christ in that situation, to say something, as you say, Greg, very charitably, but to say something and shed a little light, a little truth in the situation.
And I don't mean to suggest that it's our job as Christians to go out and save the world from itself and go tell everybody what to do. That's not the point. But we do have an obligation to say what we can where we believe we will be effective.
Where we believe we'll be effective and where we feel God is asking us to do that. And that's why I'm glad you said, you know, to Miranda, this is something for prayer. Prayer on her part, prayer on our sister's part. Where we do have to say, God, did you put me here to open my mouth, or is Satan tempting me into opening my mouth and sticking my foot in it? You know,
yeah.
Really using that discernment and that prayer before we open our mouth.
We're talking today about overthrowing the tyranny of nice. in our lives, and instead pursuing real virtue, real goodness, real honesty, real justice. We're talking about how to get ourselves to the place where we can live out that adequate anthropology, the theology of the body tells us that we're called to live out, and really start living out those virtues that come from the heart of God, instead of living up to the only social virtue that matters anymore, niceness. 877-573-7825 if you'd like to talk about those times when you feel pressured to be nice in spite of your better judgment and in lieu of better virtue. If you're on the line, hang on. If you haven't called in yet, we want to hear your stories and help you sort through your dilemmas at 877-573-7825. Stick around for more to life after this.
Today's programming on 990 WTEO is made possible in part by a contribution made from our day sponsor to announce the Ann Arbor Christian School Open House and the Soup Supper Science Fair tomorrow. The Open House begins at 9 a.m. and runs all day, and the Soup Supper begins at 5:30. For information, go to annarborchristian.org. You can be a day sponsor, too. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077. And say, I want to be a day sponsor.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. On January 20th, President Obama informed Archbishop Timothy Dolan that the Catholic Church in America must provide all of their employees with insurance that covers sterilization and contraception, including drugs like the morning after pill that cause early abortion. The Archbishop answered with irony, "So you've given us a year to figure out how to violate our conscience?" The bishops have made clear that we cannot, we will not comply. In support of our bishop's lead on this matter, Ave Maria Radio has launched StopHHS.com, a website where all reporting, commentary, and public activity is being compiled. There is also a petition to the Obama administration to reverse course and respect our conscience. Visit StopHHS.com to sign the petition and use any means at your disposal to spread the word. Make no mistake, we are in a fight for the future of religious liberty in America. Engage that fight. Go to StopHHS.com.
Now at the Ave Maria online store, Catholicism, an adult study program on DVD. This 10-hour, 5-DVD set is created and led by prominent theologian and sought-after speaker Father Robert Barron. Catholicism is filmed on location in high def with comprehensive catechesis appropriate for RCIA and other adult formation programs. And at the Ave Maria online store, it's 30% off the regular retail price. The biggest discount on Catholicism is only at AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to More to Life, the show that explores the life we're all called to live through the lens of the theology of the body. I am Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we are talking about overthrowing the tyranny of nice. That sounds kind of shocking, doesn't it? But I've often joked that I'm on this sort of tongue-in-cheek campaign to stamp out nice. And it's not that I want people to be mean. It's not that I particularly value being nasty to people. That's not my point. My point is that I believe, from the bottom of my heart, the depths of my toes, that niceness is Satan's plagiarism of good. I'm going to talk more about what that means to the whole idea of why women don't like nice guys, but we'll get to that.
Oh, I can't wait to have this conversation.
Yeah, no, we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to hear from you folks out there who, for instance, feel pressure to not say things that just really just need to be said because it wouldn't be nice. I want to talk to you folks out there who aren't doing things that really need to be done to correct an honest injustice. Because it wouldn't be nice. I'm making fun of it.
Well,
I'm not making fun of our listeners. We all feel that pressure.
We're all feeling that pressure. And I have to say, and some of our listeners are getting on board with this idea as they're calling in today, and I'm seeing what's happening on the screen. Are we not feeling this pressure more right now than we ever have? All of us as Catholics. Be nice. Don't argue with the president. Don't argue with the mandate. Don't tell people that they shouldn't possibly, you know, go through abortifacient technology and sterilization and that you don't want to pay for it. Don't do that. Be nice. We don't want to ruffle any feathers. This is happening.
Don't stand up for your first. Forget where you stand on contraception. Don't stand up for your First Amendment rights because it's not nice. Oh, okay. Well, just step on my neck then. That'll be just fine.
You know, or just let our entire country change and everything that it's based on and morph into something very ugly. We are all being told on a personal level every day and now on a political level, just be nice. And it sounds right. The problem is, as with every lie Satan tells, it sounds right. Oh, if we're just nice, everybody gets along. I don't fight with my little brother or sister. I don't make mommy or daddy mad. Everybody gets along better and the sunshine comes out and the birds start to twitter and I can sing Cinderella songs. We're grown-ups now. It doesn't work quite the same way, and it may not have worked even when you were a kid. Let's stop the nice. Let's try the virtues.
We're going to Christina in Texas. Hey, Christina, welcome to Mortal Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Do you reject nice and all of its pomp and all of its...
Everybody tells me that just being nice is the best thing, and that if I try and say something in a virtuous way, I sound negative and I sound depressed. That's what my family kind of...
Is it depressed? They tell you that you sound depressed?
Depressed or negative.
Okay.
Negative. So even if I say it in a good way, and they're saying that since I'm so depressed, I need to be more upbeat, and I try and be upbeat and happy and everything, and I think I have really conquered that part.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit has given me. But I still feel that I can't say anything out there. If you say something, you know...
Okay, well, here, let me, I want to ask you a question, but I also want to say something here. First of all, we can't judge whether we're doing the right thing or not by other people's reaction. I mean, you just can't, because you can't control the other person's reaction. You know, I could, for instance, right, I've talked to people who have tried to be really, really super loving and nice, for instance, I don't mean nice, but really super loving, say inappropriate, to their spouse and said, you know, like tried to give their spouse a hug for support. And that person goes, ah, don't touch me right now. Right? I mean, now, that person wasn't doing anything wrong. They were trying to be supportive. They were trying to be loving. But it still provoked a negative reaction. We can't judge whether we've done the right thing or not based on how other people respond to us. I'll talk about how to know whether you're doing the right thing or not in a little bit. But first, I want to ask you a follow-up question, which is, give me an example of something that you'd like to be able to say to somebody, but you are accused of not being nice when you say it.
Usually something with the family. For example, if I had a bad experience with a family member and I want to bring it up and say, "Why? What happened here? Why didn't you let me do this or that?" And then they'll say, "Don't bring things from the past. That happened a long time ago." And so they're saying that I'm defensive, that I haven't been able to outgrow that and live in the present and not live in the past. But sometimes we need to ask why, what happened, and then move on from there. But sometimes mm-hmm. the family is like, "Oh, you're so negative. You know, you're just living in the past."
So what they're saying is that holding them accountable for injuries is not nice, and you should just get over it already. Okay, well that's a great example of what we're talking about here. All right, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, having dealt with a problem, not continuing to go back and pick at the scab. That's one thing. What you're talking about, though, is a problem that really isn't healing appropriately. We're talking about the temptation that a lot of folks have to just pretend it didn't happen and, quote-unquote, make nice and move on. And I don't think that's just. Now, you know, if we're talking about some petty thing, you know, some petty offense against your preferences or something, you know, people chose the Italian restaurant over the Chinese restaurant and you're really mad about it, well, okay, get over yourself. But if we're talking about something where someone said something rude or disrespectful to you and was demeaning to themselves or you, or in some way committed some other, you know, offense against your dignity or your worth as a woman of God, well, you have a right to address that. And it's not mean and it's not inappropriate to say something. In fact, it's not loving to not say something. Why do I say that? Well, because to love somebody means to work for their good, right? It means to be willing to challenge yourself and others to be your best selves. And sometimes that means saying, "Hey, look, I'm sure you didn't mean anything by it, or I'm sure that even if you did, that it didn't come off the right way, but when you did X, Y, or Z, it was really kind of hurtful. And I'd really like to make sure that doesn't happen again. What can we do to make sure that next time goes better? I would approach it that way, okay? Don't lead with emotions. Lead with a solution. If you lead with emotions and you kind of like, boy, you were really mean, you were hurtful, and that really upset me, and how dare you, you're going to come off badly, and nobody's going to want to hear that. But if you can go to them and say, listen, I'm sure that you weren't any happier with this than I am. But even if you were, I really want to make sure this doesn't happen again. What do we need to do to see that next time goes better? And talk with them about that. Now, if they reject that, if they say, oh, here you are bringing up that old stuff again, how dare you, I would just suggest to you that means that you have to set some limits on the relationship then. You know, you have to not cut that person out of your life, but scale the relationship back to the point where you can be with them and be safe and feel respected. If that means that you can only talk to them on the phone, or if that means that you can only go out with them in public places as opposed to visiting them in their house, if that means that you can only be around them for a half an hour before they start to lose their cool, whatever it is, you cut your relationship back to that point. And if they complain about it, say, well, gosh, I'd really love to be closer to you too, but until I know that these things aren't going to happen again, or at least we have a plan for trying to make these things go better in the future, I'm afraid that I just can't go there with you. And let their behavior tell you how far you can go in the relationship. This is just a basic sketch. I go into much more detail and give you a concrete plan in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available on our website at moretoliferadio.com or any online bookstore. Check it out. God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's going to help you set boundaries and address issues with folks in a way that gets the job done but is charitable. And regardless of their reaction, then, you will know that you are standing in God's grace and doing what God asks you to do, even if they do reject your efforts to work for their good. God bless you, Christina, and thank you so much for the call. We will pray for you and your family that you will be able to work for real peace in your family instead of just settling for the quiet everybody else wants to get along with. 877-573-7825. Got a couple of really good examples so far in the calls about the tyranny of niceness and how it's impacting our ability to be good and virtuous. If you are feeling pressured to be nice against your better judgment, give us a call. Let us help you figure out how to say what needs to be said, how to do what needs to be done, how to correct the injustices that you are being affected by or witness to in a way that's still reflective of charity and all the other virtues that help you live out that adequate anthropology the theology of the body talks about, that helps you be the person that God is calling you to be. 877-573-7825. Do not change that dial. It would not be nice. Stick around for more to Life coming up after this.
More to Life is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria mutual funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is made possible in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, dedicated to helping grow businesses for a strong community of faith and Christian values. CatholicBusinessPages.com is your online directory resource for connecting you with businesses that have taken a strong stand to support those values that impact our lives. If Christian principles make a difference in your life, then CatholicBusinessPages.com will link you to business professionals who care about the values of our nation. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
The 15th Annual Holy Trinity Apostles Lenten Symposium is Saturday, March 10th, and this year's theme is the Christian Vocation, the Call to Martyrdom. Direct from Rome, His Eminence Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke will open the symposium with Mass and will highlight the Christian martyrdom theme as it relates to the servant of God, Father John Hardin.
I personally was convinced of his sanctity, but I see him in particular as a great teacher of the faith in a period of time when the teaching of the faith was really called into crisis.
Other speakers include Bishop Bernard A. Hebda of Gaylord, from Rome, Monsignor John A. Abruzzi, Father John D. Dumas, and Mother Margaret Georgina Patton, the granddaughter of General George Patton. The symposium is March 10th at St. Cyril and Methodius on Ryan in 18 Mile in Sterling Heights. There's a youth symposium for ages 13 to 17 with the same great speakers. Go to HolyTrinityApostolate.com to register or call Shirley at 313-277-8905.
Hi, this is Lisa Popchak. Keeping a close relationship with your child is the key to fostering good behavior. Here are three quick tips to make sure your relationship with your child is as close and effective as it can be. 1. Don't be shy about saying, I love you. I'm proud of you, or you're the best thing since sliced bread. Smother them with it. Repeat it until you're blue in the face. I love you. 2. Show them your love for them. God the Father demonstrates his love for us. Do the same for your kids. Hug, kiss, and cuddle them. Assure your kids of your unconditional love. 3. Keep your promises. Your kids should know they can count on you. Show this by staying true to your word. If you say you're going to be there, be there. If you promise a surprise, surprise them. A close relationship with your kids will build an enduring bond between you and will make parenting and discipline a whole lot easier. For more tips on Catholic parenting, visit moretoliferadio.com. Welcome back to More to Life. I'm
Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we are talking about overthrowing the tyranny of nice. And instead, being virtuous, being good, nice, I am proud to proclaim, I believe from the bottom of my heart, is Satan's plagiarism of virtue. It's Satan's plagiarism of goodness. Just be nice. Go along to get along. Don't ever ruffle any feathers. And that's what Satan wants.
Well, you know, Greg, it's funny because my sister was exceptional at English. And even though she went to nursing school, she eventually became an editor. And when she was sort of helping to raise me, because my sister's a bit older than me, when I would do a paper in high school and I'd ever put in the word nice, she'd throw a fit. She'd say, nice doesn't mean anything. Choose a word with substance. Nice means nothing.
And it's funny,
right?
Because your sister really worships at the altar of niceness. I mean, she's in some ways.
But the interesting thing about that is grammatically,
yeah,
it means nothing. Spiritually, it means less than nothing. It can mean destruction. It can mean passivity. It certainly, as you're saying, often means not choosing the virtuous path. And it's interesting that nice is just not such a nice word, no matter how you look at it.
Nice is a four-letter word.
It is.
Thank you. We are taking your calls about those times when you feel pressured to be nice against your better judgment, against the choice to be virtuous or good or honest or truthful or encouraging in some way. We want to help you out. 877-573-7825.
Let's go now to Bob in Dallas.
Hey there, Bob. Welcome to Mortal Life. How can we help you out today?
Oh, I'm from Dallas, Garland, Texas.
You know, well, it's great to hear from you.
Well, I would like to get into the heart of the matter of the Declaration of Independence. And if I'm quite sure Charles Carroll Carleton, who signed his name after 57 others or 56 others signed, then he put his name. And they were Washington, Jefferson used to come to breakfast with him on his big plantation. He was the richest person there, so he had a lot to lose if we lost the war. But he had thought the Atlantic Ocean will keep us apart, and we got a chance to go for it, go for the goal of freedom, freedom at last. And what he had to do with bringing freedom for religion, I'm quite sure John Carroll, the Archbishop, the Bishop of Baltimore, and Charles Carroll Carrollton, and his son, who went to England to get an education in law. The father already had law, and he was using that in Baltimore. And now the son comes back, just as the war broke out, and he got into it. And that father wanted him to cover it, watch what Washington does and says, I want you to report back to me, tell me what he needs, and I'll supply it. Also, as it came over, we won. They wanted to make him president, Charles Carroll Carroll. He said, no, I want to go back to the farm. But the thing I want to know is what happened between the son and the father. For 40 years, they corresponded back and forth with letters. So whatever he said in that letters is, I would like to know. But a Jewish person had his diary and his letters
Bob, let me ask you a question.
He
I'm
didn't
not sure.
Need it.
Could you relate this back to the topic?
What is nice?
I'm not.
How does that fall into the category of being nice? Well, the Catholic Church and the Cardinal, or Bishop Dalton from New York, was slapped in the face. Now, Charles Carroll Carlton and his son, and Washington and Jefferson, they're slapped in the face. That's not going to be in the Constitution of the United States because it's not necessary. Religion is not necessary.
So you mean the First Amendment? They were talking,
not
talking
be
about
nice
the first...
anymore. We're going to talk about it. There's two lawyers, Senator Charles Jr. Carroll and Charles Carroll Carlton. What did they say in their letters that a Jewish person happened to come across and he didn't want them or didn't need them, so he gave them to South Carolina, North Carolina, but he gave them and they printed four volumes.
Bob, I got to stop you because you're kind of going on here, and I've only got 20 minutes left in the show. So I think Bob's point here is he was referring to the HHS mandate and how the challenge is that we are being attempted to be cowed into quote unquote being nice instead of being faithful, and he's telling the story about how the First Amendment got into the Constitution.
Yeah,
in the
he's
first
talking
place.
About the fact that Carroll and his son put the pressure on the others to get
Washington
that First
Jefferson.
Amendment. Into the Constitution, that a Catholic really helped make sure it was there, and that we as Catholics, and Bob's point is very well taken, that we as Catholics have to stand behind that. We have to affirm that and make sure it stays the way it is.
I did appreciate your point, Bob, but I understand that when you get on the air sometimes it's hard to kind of consolidate your thoughts. So I apologize for cutting you off, but like I said, there are some other callers that we need to get to, and I wanted to make your point for you.
This point was very well taken. Very
important. Thank you very much
point.
For that. 877-573-7825. We are talking about the tyranny of niceness and the need to really overthrow that if we're going to live up to the adequate anthropology that's spelled out by the theology of the body. In other words, we've got to check ourselves against where we come from, where we're going, and how we're supposed to be while we're here. We come from the heart of God, we're going to the heart of God, and while we're here, we're called to live out the virtues that come from the heart of God. Niceness ain't one of them. Love is, goodness is, truth is, fighting for justice is. But those things are going to ruffle some feathers sometimes. We've got to get comfortable with the idea that sometimes being virtuous is going to tick some people off and not come off as very nice. But we have to proceed in charity and genuine love. Let's go to Jill in South Lyon, Michigan. Jill, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi, Greg and Lisa. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
I have a daughter who, 3 months ago, I think you guys were talking on the radio about the affiliation between Girl Scouts and Planned Parenthood. And so I did my research and I looked up all of the information that you mentioned on the radio as well as a few other things and came to the conclusion that I wasn't comfortable having her being in the Girl Scouts anymore.
Uh-huh.
I took her out and the leader sent a message to our, it's like a higher up in the Girl Scouts. And she is also the youth coordinator at our church. Mm-hmm. So
this higher up, you mean, or the leader?
This higher up. The leader sent my information saying that I removed my child because of this matter to this higher up person who also happens to be a youth coordinator in our church.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm with you now.
And she contacted me yesterday saying that everything that I have been told is incorrect and that Girl Scouts is a wonderful thing that helps us raise our daughters with wonderful Catholic values, and she has copies of signed documents saying that counteracting everything that I had been told or that I had researched. So I fired back nicely, stating that, I put the YouTube video of the CEO from Planned Parenthood up there stating that they had an affiliation and a bunch of other links to the resources that you had mentioned. And she still is claiming that I'm misinformed. And I'm trying to be nice about this, and I don't.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is you don't have to convince her of anything. You've made a choice as a parent, and you've posted your reasons. You've done your due diligence, and as I say, it's not like you found some crank website in some dark corner of the internet. You've got the director of Planned Parenthood saying out of her own mouth that there's a connection. So, you know, what are you supposed to do with that? So, you know, there's a lot of, in this whole discussion of the Girl Scouts, and I know this is a controversial issue, but in the whole discussion here, there's a lot of plausible deniability that local chapters in the Girl Scouts may have or local leadership may have. But the reality is there is more than just a tenuous relationship between the Girl Scouts and Planned Parenthood. And so, you know, I'm not suggesting that all parents must pull their children out, but I respect that parents would not want their girls to be involved in, and in fact, we wouldn't actually want our girls to be involved in that organization because of the reasons that you pointed out. So, you don't have to convince her of anything. It's enough to say, look, these are the facts. This is how I've made my decision. I appreciate where you're coming from. Thank you very much. Then just move on. I think that would be great if you could, for instance, start a Little Flowers Girls Club chapter in your area.
That's great.
That would be fantastic. You know, so, you know, providing an alternative for your daughter and some of her friends who feel similarly would be a great thing. But, you know, you don't have to convince anybody of anything. You know, that's, again, another one of those aspects of the tyranny of niceness is that we feel like we can't act unless we get somebody else's permission to do it. You know, here you have a situation where you as the parent get to make this call. It's a prudential judgment. You know, you're not participating directly in evil by sending your girl to the Girl Scouts. I don't mean to imply that. But you're making a very informed, reasonable, prayerful decision that this isn't for you. And that's your call as a parent. And she has to respect that. And if she doesn't, you don't have to explain anything to her. And it's not unnice to not explain anything to her. You're just exercising your authority as the mom that God made you to be and a woman of God. And more power to you. You're doing your job. And you don't have to explain that or justify it to anybody.
Well, and on top of that, you're really being a very courageous woman of God. And I hope that your daughter will see it that way. You know, I know it's also tricky when we say to our kids, oh, you really can't play with all these kids or be in this group because of this situation. I hope that she will see in the long run that even though it's not the nice choice or the easy choice, that it's the choice that's most concerned with all of her, the health of her body, the health of her spirit, all of those things as she goes through her life. And frankly, I think she's lucky to have such a courageous mom.
I'll tell you what, I'll put this out to you, Jill, and all the other folks who are listening out there. When we do this sort of thing, though, when we pull our kids out of certain things because of our faith, you want to be careful about the message that sends to your kids, though. And what that means is that it requires us to work then twice as hard to fulfill that need that the group would have fulfilled for our child had we not done this.
Exactly.
Because if our faith comes off to our kids as the big church of no, the big wagging finger that's constantly, you know, poking in their eye and ruining their fun, that's the best way to make sure that you raise a kid who hates the church. So if you're going to do something like this, that's why I said, you know, starting a Little Flowers Girls group or something like that, is a great way of saying, you know what, honey, we don't do this, but we can do these things, and we can have all the fun that you would have had in Girl Scouts and more. And do it in a godly way. That's what we have to do as Catholic parents, to really kind of present that church of yes, the church that says you can have all the fun, you can have all the joy, you can have all the experiences, but just do it in a godly way. And I, as your parent, am going to make that happen for you. And yeah, that makes it harder on us, but you know what? That's the sacrifice of being a mom, too, and I know that you're up to that. So God bless you, Jill, and thanks so much for the call. Thanks for being willing to take these steps in what you believe is really in the best interest of your family, and we totally support you in it. God bless you. 877-573-7825. We're overthrowing the tyranny of nice today on More to Life and challenging each other to live up to that adequate anthropology, the theology of the body talks about, that says that we come from the heart of God, are destined to go to the heart of God, and are commanded really in the present to live out all the virtues that come from the heart of God. And niceness ain't one of them. We can be good. We should be honest. We must be charitable. But nice? Pfft. Stick around. More coming up after this.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. All ages are welcome to the Winter Wonderland Dance Saturday, February 18th at Holy Spirit Church in Brighton. This semi-formal to formal occasion includes dinner and dancing and is only $15 for single admission or $25 for a couple. It's sponsored by the Holy Spirit Youth Ministry. For further details, call 810-231-9199. Don't miss the kickoff rally for the 40 Days for Life, Monday, February 20th at St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Ann Arbor. The rally includes inspirational speakers, pro-life organizations, and refreshments. For further details, call 517-263-6240. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. This month, we focus a lot on food, like what kind of lunches are you packing your kids? We also feature a very serious food issue on our cover page. Both the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce and the AFPD, the Voice of Independent Retailers, have worked diligently to defuse the false reports that Detroit is a food desert. AFPD, with more than 4,000 members, produced a high-quality map of 86 full-service grocery stores in the city. The Chamber has also highlighted businesses via photos and video. Both groups are making a concerted effort to bring awareness to the hard work and dedication the grocers have made in Detroit. Knowing that food is sometimes hard to come by when families are struggling, the Chaldean American Ladies of Charity has opened a food pantry in Madison Heights right inside their warehouse with the support of AFPD. Read more about Chaldean News by going to www.chaldeannews.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchek.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchek. Hey, just a point of clarification. You know, Jill was talking about the Girl Scouts and the Planned Parenthood connection and saying that we had pointed that out. That actually wasn't on our show. We haven't talked about that in forever. We support it. I do believe there is a connection. But if you want more information on that whole idea of a connection between the Girl Scouts and Planned Parenthood, Teresa Tomeo at Catholic Connection talks a lot about that issue. If you go to her website, you can learn more about that connection there at teresatomeo.com. Also, honestgirlscouts.com is a website that talks about that connection as well. As I said, that didn't come from us, but we do believe in that as well, personally. And if you want more information on it, those are the places to go to get it. All right, we're going to Ted in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, to talk about this whole idea of the tyranny of niceness. Welcome to the show, Ted. How can we help you out today?
Ted,
hey, there you
there
are.
There you are. Hi, Ted.
What's up?
Sorry, I'm on the highway. Hey, this is a great conversation, and I just want to say that you know, it's time we start standing up for what Catholics truly believe. And I just hear, just the other day I heard a woman say that she was Catholic, but she was pro-choice. And I confronted her on that, and I asked her, you know, what does that mean to you? And she said, well, it's up to the person to decide what, you know, what's right for themselves. And I said, you know, you can't be Catholic and think that life is disposable. And, I mean, that goes to the very heart of what we believe as Catholics. And
but, Ted, it's not nice to tell people what they should think. It's not nice to tell people what's right and wrong, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's what we're up against, isn't it?
But I think that where we need more leadership is from the pulpit. I just don't hear homilies that often, if ever, talking about the sanctity of life, talking about, you know, what it means to be a Catholic.
Well, or even necessarily addressing this whole issue of the difference between charity and niceness. And I think that you're onto something. And I don't, you know, it's very easy to blame the clergy, and I know we can all kind of pile on. And I'm not encouraging that. But I agree that there really needs to be greater leadership in all aspects of Catholic ministry, from the hierarchy, from our pastors, but also from folks like yourself or us, you know, who are willing to stand up and say, look, you know, nice is fine as far as it goes, which is not a whole heck of a lot. But, you know, really we're called to be virtuous. And I once had the opportunity to have a conversation with several high-ranking members in the USCCB. One of them was a cardinal. And we were talking about, frankly, a lot of the stuff. This is several years ago now, but we're talking about the topics that really led to the mess that we're in right now. And a lot of the folks in the audience were kind of challenging these bishops and this cardinal. Look, you know, you guys keep calling for engagement and for charity and for all of that, and we're not saying that you have to kick butt and take names and start throwing people out of the church left and right, but, you know, you keep saying charity, and I don't think that word means what you think it means, because, you know, to be charitable to somebody means to call them on, means to work for their good. It doesn't mean just sort of covering up their stuff and just making nice all the time. And there is a perception that our church has kind of gotten to the place where where we don't want to ruffle feathers. And that's not what being charitable really means. And I think we have lost that sense of the authentic nature of charity. And I appreciate you pointing that out, Ted. God bless you, and thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
And I have to say, it is up to us as parishioners when we're when we want this, we want these homilies. We want this guidance to let our pastors know.
As nicely as possible.
As charitably as possible. As charitably as possible. Not nicely.
I put nice and italicized in my voice. Couldn't you hear it?
See, it's even affected us.
No,
I said it
with that tone.
That
because,
word.
But really, as charitably and as encouragingly as possible. Because, frankly, our leaders are terrified. If they open their mouths, they're going to, you know, Pastor Joe at the local church is afraid to say anything in a homily because, one, he's got way too much else to address. And two, he's afraid of the reaction because he's going to be told he's not nice.
Here's a charitable way to do that, okay? Because a friend of ours, Mark Shea, likes to say, look, we have the church that we deserve. We have a tendency to not expect much from our pastors and from others. We've kind of made this thing, look, we won't bother you if you don't bother us, is sort of his point. And I think that, you know, we can go to our pastor and say, listen, Father, could you speak a little, I'm really confused on this point. Could you speak a little bit sometime to the difference between charity and niceness? It would really mean a lot to me, and I know a lot of other people in the
same
boat.
And right now, very easily said, Father, we're really confused about what we're hearing in the media. Could you speak to this for us in a homily?
I think that would be a helpful suggestion. Hey, before we go, I promised that I'd talk a little bit about, you know, this whole idea of why aren't women attracted to nice guys. And I will agree, by the way, that there are some women who have been treated so poorly they don't know what they're worth, and they wouldn't know a good man if he just was standing there, the light shining on him, and heaven's opening up and saying, hallelujah. I get that, okay? But here's the thing. You know, nice guys have a tendency to just be nice. What women want is a strong man, a good man, a man who knows where he's going, knows what God created him to be, and isn't going to let anything stand in his way of becoming that kind of man.
Has that strength and virtue and the conviction of it.
A nice guy just goes along to get along. He's not threatening. He's not passionate. He's just there. So if you want to be the man, the strong man that attracts a good woman, be a good man, not a nice man. And the rest of you out there, if you're feeling pressured to be nice and not say things that need to be said, not stand up against injustice that needs to be addressed, not do things that need to be done because it wouldn't be nice, well, give us a call at the Pastoral Solutions Institute. We're going to help you get over that. You can learn more about how to be good and loving and honest and virtuous and all those positive things in your marriage, family, and personal life by contacting me or one of my faithful associates at the Pastoral Solutions Institute and setting up some counseling for yourself, your marriage, or your family. You can make an appointment at 740-266-6461. That's 740-266-6461. Hope to hear from you. God bless everybody. Have a great day.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the Pastoral Solutions Institute. Find out more at moretoliferadio.com. More to Life is made possible on Ave Maria Radio in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. More to Life, the life you were meant to live.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hi, Tom Lowy here, Development Director for Ave Maria Radio. Our spring drive is April 9th through the 13th this year. That's the week after Easter Sunday. And we really need volunteers to make this drive successful. If you can spare 2 hours on any of the days of the drive, that's April 9th through the 13th, give us a call at 877-288-1077 or email our volunteer director, Cheryl, by going to volunteer@AveMariaRadio.net.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. On January 20th, President Obama informed Archbishop Timothy Dolan that the Catholic Church in America must provide all of their employees with insurance that covers sterilization and contraception, including drugs like the morning after pill that cause early abortion. The Archbishop answered with irony, "So you've given us a year to figure out..."